Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club February edition. You guys, this is a very exciting episode. Not that all Redheads episodes aren't just the most exciting thing in culture, but this episode marks our 4-year anniversary of starting the Redheads, which we started in February 2020. So I feel as though we need to celebrate that, but also this episode is really going to be very anniversarial. I feel we're going to keep coming back to the fact that it's been 4 years of TRBC. Before we start celebrating ourselves, I need to catch up with my swirlies. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi, missed you, except not really, because last month we recorded late because the new year kind of sprang up on us, and I, for one, was not ready to do the Redhead. So we came out with our episode a week late, and then this month, February 1st, is a Thursday, so we literally had 3 weeks between episodes. So I feel like I just saw you guys. But how are you doing?
And by the way, the next one will be even shorter.
Why?
Because February is a short month.
It's a leap year, though.
It is a leap year.
It's a leap year.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. How are you guys going to spend the extra day?
I don't
know,
but the
same thing we always do.
I feel like February 29th should be a federal holiday when it happens.
I totally agree. And it's on a Thursday. So if it wasn't a leap year, we would again be recording on the first of the month.
Thank heavens, we
got an extra week.
Yes.
Nothing better than when Thursday is on the 6th. Am I right, girls?
You're right. It's on the 7th. February 7th, baby.
You guys,
wow.
My coworker Alyssa, her nephew is born on a leap day. So he's like, I think he's 8, but he's like, it's my second birthday. He's turning two.
That's a pretty cool birthday.
Yeah. Like, so what's his birthday?
We celebrate March 1st. The day before, because they were like, you were born in February. It'd be weird to celebrate this in March.
Except technically it should be March 1st, because
February 29th is like, technically March 1st.
Yeah.
Well, they say if you're born like before noon, you celebrate on the 28th, and you're born after noon, then you celebrate on the 1st.
I like that.
Yeah.
Our friend Sam recently was like, my son, who was born in late August, doesn't have a half birthday.
That's wow. Why? Because it's the 29th?
Yeah, I think it's the 30th, and there's no 30th of February.
That happens for other people in other months, though, too. If you were born in the 30 and the 6 months
that's
is
true.
31.
Yeah, that's true.
But oh my gosh, poor Nate.
Is he going to be okay?
I don't know. That's like a two truths and a lie fun fact for the rest of his life.
Totally. I don't have a half birthday. But speaking of birthdays, Daynerd
Dana
just celebrated a birthday. How was your birthday, Dana? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, everybody. It was great. It was my 32nd birthday now, which is just like such an unsexy age. But we had a fun time. We missed Jax as always. I did a very like mature, casual Amsterdam billiards pool hall birthday, which was just, you know, all fun and games. No pun intended. There was pong, there was pool, there was darts. Snitch was like really into the competition. Like,
I was really only into the darts.
Yeah,
Rit was like, really into the pong.
I mean, because I was beating everyone in my midst.
Yeah, that's true. You were.
Yeah, it wasn't your average birthday party. You know,
it was like the Olympics.
But it
Dana,
was,
can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Did you write down a recap of your birthday party?
No, does it sound like I'm reading a script?
It looks like your eyes are reading something.
The most Dana
thing. So funny.
That would be so Dana to
And then
rent
at 11:15, we brought out the cake.
You're making fun of yourself.
One hilarious anecdote from the birth, Dana, was Josh, her husband, obviously got her the cutest cake and, like, got these candles, was, like, number one husband, and the 2 and 32 broke. So we pieced it together with a piece of literal chewing gum, but it was innovation at its finest, and it was just, like, a memorable moment from the year 32.
I didn't even know about it until the next day. Like, had no idea this was a DIY behind-the-scenes chewing gum repair.
What did you get for your birthday, Dana?
I got a Moncler jacket from Josh.
Whoa.
Yes. Nice. Which was what I wanted. So I'm very, very happy
about
that.
It's the one that I wanted.
Oh, my God. Crushed it.
Crushed it. He had gotten me a Canada Goose, and I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but it just wasn't fitting me right. It was like a short one. I needed
long. Short for you?
Yes. It was like a belly shirt Canada Goose.
Oh, my God. You love coats, huh?
Yeah, that was like 2 or 3 years ago. So I was like, we got to upgrade.
Wow, nice. Glad I asked.
Love coats.
Do you treat yours? Yeah, I guess she like needs a coat. Yeah, you know, she doesn't have many needs, but like a coat is a need.
Well, I had asked for underwear, and he had put the kibosh on that quickly. So
you can't get your own underwear?
I just like, you know, noticed I was running a little low. Like, could use a replenish. He's like, get your own fucking underwear. This is not a birthday gift.
I couldn't agree more.
No, Dana, it's giving Sally Diamond.
Yeah,
100%.
Well, happy birthday, Dana. Glad to have you on the pod at 32. You're the oldest and wisest of us all.
Thank you so much.
So don't let us down. Satchel, how are you? I see you're wearing a braid today, and I love it. It takes me back to, like, when we were kids. That's how we wore our hair.
Yeah, I'm wearing a braid. Well, because I wanted to do a hair mask because I'm working out after work, so I was like, I'm good. And it's good to slick back, but then I was like, I don't want to do a slick back bun because that's a little too tight, and then, like, I get a headache when I have that for the whole entire day. So I was like, I'm going to do a braid. And I actually really am enjoying the look today.
I like it a lot. It looks great.
Thanks so much.
10 out of 10 braid.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you doing? How were your 3 weeks?
My 3 weeks were good. I'm still fucking reading ACOTAR.
But which book are you on?
Still on the last one. It's taking me so long, so I don't have anything to say yet, except that even though everyone says that the last one is their favorite, it has taken me over a month to read, and I would say that I disagree with that opinion.
Is the ACOTAR series done being written? Like,
no.
Is this the last?
There's another one coming out.
And is that the last one?
I don't know. Like, I don't think so. I think it's still, like, in
production.
But actually, thinking about it, though, I don't know what the next one would be about. Like, the one after the next one. You know? Because there's one more perspective to tell. And then...
Don't spoil.
Yeah. So then I don't know. But, so that's me. Still reading.
Well, great. We love that you're reading. Bex, how are you?
I'm great. I frankly don't have the most to contribute. Going skiing this weekend in Vermont, and then another ski trip to Park City, which I think I talked about last time. So I'm just like living my ski era right now. And I'm also deeply into Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I'm finally on the bandwagon because this season is hilarious, and I could not recommend it more.
I haven't watched the season. It's on my list of things to do. It's kind of far down. I feel like I would need like a reason to watch it. Like if I got sick and I had to stay in bed, like then I would watch it. Other than that, I don't know if I'll find the time, but I really want to. And I've avoided spoilers of whatever the big thing that happens at the finale is. I have no idea.
Oh, that's crazy. I was actually going to text you yesterday, so this is saving me a message because I was going to be like, can we debrief on Salt Lake City?
You would have been disappointed to know I'm not the
Jax,
girl.
Jax, you have to watch it. It's fucking hilarious.
I will. You and I have been aligned
on like our like progression and maturity out of Housewives era.
Housewives.
And I'm right back in it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, Charlie is doing pretty good in sleeping in the night. So I have a couple hours in the evening now. Maybe I will add SLC to my repertoire.
Love to hear it. Jax, what's new with you?
Not too much. What is new with me? It's a great question. Anytime
You started a sports podcast.
I continued my sports podcast, yes, but we acquired by ESPN. What did I do this month? I went to Disney, of course. Everyone knows if you listen to The Toast. I can't stop talking about it. Miska Muska, Mickey Mouse. And just missing my sisters and my friends.
I can't stop.
I know. I want
so
you to
So I started a podcast with them.
I can't stop laughing at Olivia being the mayor of Disney World.
Yeah, no, she just got it. Dana, like, you, I think, would get it. You've been there, but, like, I think there's two types of people. People who like Disney, it clicks for them, brings out the best in them, and they just get in. Like, people who it's not their finest hour. I would say that was me. I still had an amazing time, but, like, I was being dumb at Disney. Olivia was being smart at Disney.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was like a Disney adult last December because Josh's company took the whole gang to Disney for their 30th anniversary. And it's just, it's the wild, wild west out there. You get either those two get it.
I couldn't imagine being there with like your company.
I know.
I've done it with my company too. And it is kind of epic because they just shut down the park. So you don't have to
eat lines. And it's like unreal. Amazing.
And you can like that's get wine.
And people brought their kids.
Yeah.
You couldn't,
not really, like you weren't supposed to, but I think some people did, but like that was not.
Oh, I would for sure. I would sneak them in. I'd be like, I'm not going to Disney after dark, no lines without you.
Yeah, I think there were like the people who did, and most of us did not. It was lit.
Got it.
I forgot about that.
Lit. Mickey gets lit. I didn't even know you did that.
Yeah, me neither.
Just some so mysterious.
She's so mysterious. Well, let's get into this month's book because we read a Jax's Choice. I hadn't made a choice since June, I think, because we skipped me while I was on maternity leave. So this was my first book in like a 7 or 8 months. And I chose None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. Quick synopsis if you didn't read the book. But if you're someone who reads for fun and listens to this episode, then you should read this book because it's super quick. And I feel like everyone will baseline like it, hopefully, but then varying degrees of how much you like it. Anyways, it is a thriller, and it is about two women who couldn't be, it seems, more opposite. We have Alex, who is a fabulous podcaster, influencer, mama bear, just like chic lady about London. And we have Josie, who is mysterious, reclusive, quirky, weird, sad, we think. And the two of them actually have the exact same birth date. They were born on the same birth, Dana, actually, in the same hospital. And they are both celebrating their birthdays at the same restaurant where they connect and they're like, oh my God, that's my birthday. Oh my God, I'm 45. Oh my God, I was born at St. Mary's. And that's just like a fun fact, but it sets into motion the events of the book. Alex, who's the podcaster, is kind of over her usual motif for podcasting and has been looking for something fresh but coming up dry. And Josie just decided that she's going to change her life and she wants to broadcast this life change on Alex's podcast. So she worms her way into Alex's life. Alex finds her very interesting because her story is kind of crazy. The true story is crazy, and then also the untrue story that Josie has been telling her, which we don't know is untrue except for the title of the book the whole time is telling you it's not true. But long story short, Josie's story is that she was married very young. She met her husband when she was 14 and he was 42. They didn't have sex till she was 16. I think they got married when she was 18 and she had two children with him. And now her daughters are grown. One of them ran away from home. The other one is a recluse in every sense of the word, a gaming addict, only eats soft baby food, just not totally socialized in what you would consider functioning. I don't know what the word is.
Functioning.
Yeah. And Josie has decided that she wants to leave her husband because she's realized that he's a disgusting pedophile and that he groomed her. And she's sharing all of this with Alex while also trying to become Alex's best friend and be a part of her life and her family and live in her house and get Alex to leave her husband because she thinks that both of their husbands are bad and all men are bad. And Josie winds up kidnapping Alex's husband, accidentally murdering him, murdering her own husband, Walter, who's now 72, trying to murder her daughter, just like murdering everyone, running away and never being caught. And then Alex is left to pick up the pieces and she's like, why did I let this person into my life who literally destroyed my life? Alex realized, oh, I loved my life, actually. Like, I don't know what I was searching for. I loved my husband. He was great. Now he's gone. So it was that. That was the book. Josie runs away and is not caught.
Good recap.
And it actually ended very similarly to Strange Sally Diamond
because the crimes
were committed right before COVID. ran away. Now it's Maskville, lockdowns. A lot of cases get put on the back burner, and she gets away with it.
COVID is...
And also, there was the insinuation that there was more, like, more victims.
Oh, really?
Not, like, future, but past, when there were, like, a couple tokens that nobody recognized.
Oh, yes. Point.
And...
And actually, snitch, that means that if there was more than one thing like this, then there will be future, because it's a pattern and it's who she is as a sociopathic murderess.
Yeah, even though she thinks she's, like, doing the right thing. It's bizarre.
Yeah, because she's not well. Makes you wonder if in real life that really happened, that a lot of crimes, like, went unsolved, or just the trail went super cold because of, like, lack of interest, like, lack of resources, people staying home, people wearing masks. Like, you could wear a mask for the rest of your life now, and people would just think, like, you're not over COVID, not that you're a murderer.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Okay, so that was the book. Let's talk about what we thought. Overall thoughts, do we like it or not like it? I'll go first. I liked it so much. The writing was great. I love that it centered around a podcast. I liked the way that it was structured. I didn't realize till I was reading the acknowledgments that it wasn't your typical thriller, because I feel like a lot of thrillers have either multiple perspectives or flashback, flash forward. This was one straight line, like third party narrator, like, and most thrillers aren't written that way, but I liked how it was written. And that there was the podcast element influencing, you know, social media. I like all of that. And I thought that the crimes, the whole time, they're like, if you knew what we did, or if you knew the truth, there's this thing looming. And because the truth was so up for debate here, I feel like we never got, like, to the heart of the matter of, like, what was it? When she said to Walter, I'm going to go to the police. Well, and Walter was like, you're so stupid. Like, what was she going to go to the police over? Like, I still feel like there's so much uncertainty, but I think the author intentionally left it that way for you to question, like, what is the truth?
Yeah. I thought this book rocked. I devoured it. It, like, really kept my interest the whole time. The writing was easy. The title was fitting, because the whole time I was reading, I was like, Jesus, none of this is true. What's going on? I found the characters to be, like, all simultaneously both infuriating and, like, provocative. I wanted to shake Alex at times. I wanted to scream at Josie. I wanted to kill Nathan. So, like, it was the perfect amount of death, but still mixed in with the thriller aspect. And it also had the perfect amount of darkness for me, because, you know, I like those, like, very dark books, and the pedophilia and the sickness, like, everything. It was riveting. I thought it was a really solid
book. Do you like the gaming baby food?
I just thought it was, like, I actually kind of doubted the obvious conclusion of he was molesting the two daughters, because it just made it too obvious. Like, oh, she started regressing as soon as he went into her room each night and wanted baby food. Like, everything seemed too on the nose. So I actually thought all of that stuff was, like, ironically leading me in another direction than what they were trying to put me in.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was doing that either. It just would have been, again, too on the nose. Bex, what'd you think?
I actually did think he was doing it. And I, like, had, like, a kind of sick theory that Erin, because they talked about the stench coming out of her room. So I was thinking that she was, like, intentionally, like, soiling herself, or, like, not addressing, like, her room to deter him from entering. Oh. So I just had, like, a weird theory about that. Which proved to be.
I mean, I guess they never really got to the bottom of what the smell was.
I thought she was, like, low-key dead the whole time. And Josie was, like,
interesting
pretending
snitch.
She was alive. And they kept talking about this, like, smell. And it was, like, their dead daughter, but she's, like, just pretending.
That's a really
that she's
good
there.
Guess that I didn't even think about.
That is good, but they never addressed the smell. And if Walter was going in there every night, like, and it smelled so bad, why didn't he address it? How could he go in there every night and stomach the smell? And if she was just in there, like, living her best gaming life, which is what it turned out to be, why not a shower?
Totally. Yeah, the smell's confusing. But, yeah.
We got a lot of questions about that. I probably have the most questions ever about, like, what was the smell?
Great question.
It was her, for sure. It was just, like, why wasn't she taking care of herself?
Yeah.
Or was it that, like, I mean, maybe it was, like, for a while there, Josie was taking care of her, and then when she kind of stopped, and because she was special needs, so maybe she, like, was never, didn't know how to bathe or didn't know how to shower, and that was Josie who was doing it, or Roxy was doing it, and then Roxy left, Josie didn't give a shit about Erin, and so then Erin just stayed.
Oh, I guess I didn't have a full understanding of what her special needs were. I thought it was more of a verbal thing and the soft foods, not like a physical thing.
I don't know. They never tell us.
Yeah. I just wasn't familiar with the disease. And
they said ASD.
Autism spectrum disorder.
Oh. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I guess it's a spectrum, so it could have been at any degree.
Well, what did you think?
But I really liked this book. I could not put it down. It was like I couldn't read it at night because I was staying up until 2 a.m. and I had a presentation the next day and I was like, what's happening? So I was completely enthralled. I liked that I kept getting surprised like around every corner. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. I would say my only like issue with it was kind of the ending. I felt like Alex weirdly like wasn't upset enough about her husband dying, and I feel like it kind of like jumbled together like, oh, and like I accidentally killed Nathan, bye. I was like, I felt like it was like a little bit like there was loose threads that like the author kind of just tied up, but there was so much thought and it was so methodically orchestrated earlier in the book that I felt it was like a little less cohesive in the end, but I still thoroughly enjoyed the entire time and like loved the book. But there were a few times where I was like, like this is kind of dragging and also like not making as much sense as I expected it to, but I really liked it.
I agree with that. Snitchel?
I really liked it until the end. Like, I really hated the end.
That she wasn't caught?
That she wasn't caught. Like, that. Like it just got so confusing. And it also was kind of, like, Verity vibes. Like, it's at the end. Yes. It's like, well, was Josie right? And, like, everything's wrong. Like, I don't know. I also didn't like the huge, like, time jumps. Like, it was, like, something would happen. And then it was, like, 6 months later. 16 months later. And it's just, like, I don't know. It kind of ruined it for me. I also hated the name of the book because I thought it spoiled the whole book, because the entire time I was like, is none of this true? Which is, I guess, maybe the point, but I don't like that. I would have rather been like shocked that none of it was true. But in the back of my head the whole time, I'm thinking, is any of this true?
Well, the way I felt was like so many things of the things that Josie was saying, like there was no way that they were untrue. Like she did meet her husband at 14. Everyone agreed.
Right.
They did get married by 18. Like, what wasn't true about that?
Right. It was. But then when, like, everything was uncovered, like, everyone was like, no, she wasn't groomed. Like, she pursued that. Which is, like, probably true, but it is still technically grooming, no?
That, I think, is the beauty of the book, that, like, you're presented with facts. Some of them are more obscure than others in terms of, like, reliability. But, yeah, she could definitely have still been considered groomed and molested at that age, despite the mom's assertion that, like, the daughter seduced this old man. It's, like, up for your own interpretation whether that's even possible at that age. Like, an old man with the agency to do whatever he wanted should not be preying on a young girl, no matter how advanced they are.
Totally. Like, in a court of law, I feel like she would have been groomed.
Yeah, no matter what she was doing or saying to, like, win him over.
And also, like, he was dating her mother.
Right, and
like,
also, Alex interviewed Pat, and why didn't Pat ever mention this about Josie or say, like, oh, I was right. Just the fact of she met him because I was dating him. It all comes out after when someone's like, oh, if you had asked me about her, I would have told you this. Like, even the secretary at the school, she was like, I didn't know they were doing a podcast or else I would have been like, ba da ba ba da ba ba.
Correct.
Well, also, when Alex met Pat for the first time, she was asking about Josie and Walter. And you would have thought that, like, at that point, she would have brought it up, but she didn't. And it was all too...
It's only after everyone, like, it's not even like they were hiding these things because they're just facts. And then after they're like, oh, if we should have said that.
But that's what makes it good. It's like, all right, that one's a clear one. I do think Walter was a pedophile and should not have any business with her as a 14-year-old. But then she did things like, did she kill Walter? Like, was this true? There's just enough doubt in it to make you wonder what else is true or not.
She definitely killed Walter. Who else?
They said he had a heart attack in her, like, last introspection chapter.
Yeah.
He did have a heart attack. Like, I thought he had...
Because she was, like, beating
him. He had a heart attack, and she beat him.
In her version, at the very end, she's like, I told him I was going to come clean about Brooke. meaning that Roxy killed Brooke and Walter aided in the hiding of Brooke. And Walter was so upset about the revelation that he had a heart attack because he was like, you idiot, you can't. And then he kind of died on his own in her mind. And then Roxy came out and started beating her and this whole thing ensued.
Aaron.
Whereas like.
Right. But we know that that's not true because he was found tied up in the tub.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe he had a heart attack. Also, he fell to the floor and she's beating him as he's having a heart attack. Maybe I think with Josie, like half is all yeah, is
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do we believe that Roxy killed
that's
Brooke?
That's what it's like I don't. Up to your interpretation. Who
yeah,
you
that's
believe?
The Verity thing. Yeah. I'm at this point, just like Verity, it's more convenient to believe that Josie killed her. But I just want to say, if Roxy and Brooke got into a fight at school, why didn't Brooke's mother know about that and know about Roxy punched your daughter? Maybe we should like look at this girl when my daughter's missing.
1,000%.
And why'd Roxy kill her?
And why did Roxy kill her?
Yeah, weren't they lovers?
Like, you got
yeah,
into
but
a fight
Roxy had like very well documented behavioral issues.
She had yeah. violence.
Yeah, maybe she did kill her.
But then, why would she kill her? And then her mom does all the stuff, and then she runs away like an evil person. It's like, if you tell anyone, I'll just blame
but
you.
But I think
like,
that's
I feel
kind
like
of believable. Like parents covering their kids' tracks. Like we see yes. that all the time in media. So. I don't know.
Or maybe I guess she ran away because
loving
she
parents. Loving parents yeah. cover their kids' tracks.
That's true. She can't
no,
just
I think Roxy to... ran away. There was like nothing to be done. What would Josie have done? Her daughter
and
was
Roxy
gone.
Roxy said, if you tell anyone, I'll just say it was you.
But there definitely was a weirdness of like when Roxy and Aaron were giving yes, their interview yes. and she's like, oh, well, yeah, she called my sister a name. I heard she called my sister a name and turns out I'm just being, you know, impetuous me, didn't look for facts, so I punched
and
her.
And that's why everybody is lying and none of this is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole, yeah. The Brooke thing is weird. Also, it was Roxy who said that Brooke and I were in a relationship. Maybe they weren't even.
It's who do you believe?
Maybe Roxy was in love with Brooke, but Brooke wasn't in love with Roxy.
Maybe.
Right. And maybe that's why Brooke wanted to go to the prom.
Endless speculation because they never clarified from any of yeah.
Right, which is kind of yeah. fun. And any of this could be the right answer. Yeah. Okay, let's get into the DBQs. The book came with a book club guide. Therefore, I love it. Before we get into the questions, though, I need to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Caraway. You guys, we love Caraway here so much. Each of us has the nonstick pan. I have it in pink and cream, and getting it in pink has just been such a blessing. We love cooking with Caraway. It's nonstick. It's non-toxic. It looks nice. It's loved by everyone who uses it. All the girlies got one. Can you just give me like a quick synopsis on your thoughts about your Caraway?
Love my Caraway so much. Love my coral color because it has brightened up my kitchen, and the fact that I can make an egg and it's so seamless, and there's the nonstick is iconic. It's just made my cooking life so much better. Thanks, Caraway.
I have the gray, and it's Ooh. Amazing. I use it actually every day, and it really is nonstick. Like nothing
sticks. And you've been cooking so much, and yeah. I feel like it's because you got a Caraway.
For sure, because it's like nice, and I don't have to like dread the cleanup.
Totally. Well, if you want to check out Caraway, you guys will love their organization system for their lids. They've solved what to do with your freaking lids, and you'll love the colors, and just it's guaranteed you're going to love it. So visit carawayhome.com/redheads to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off of your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/redheads or use code REDHEADS at checkout. That's READHEADS. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Now, if you're wondering, what should I cook in this pot? Today's episode is also brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one favorite meal kit. So, Bex, you recently got on the HelloFresh grind. Can you tell us your experience?
Well, I love to cook, and I will say that I feel like my favorite week of cooking this year has been with my HelloFresh delivery because of all of the packaging, all of the directions, and it was such a satisfying experience. I felt like a chef, and I didn't have like a ton of waste, which I always feel weird about after like I go to the store and I only use like an eighth of the ingredients. So I'm so bought into all things HelloFresh. I'm really obsessed, and like you guys have to try it.
Do you cook it in your caraway?
100% I cook it in my caraway, and guess what? There's no stick.
Whether you're trying to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is here to help you do all three. Say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and chef-crafted recipes at a price you'll like delivered right to your door. Plus, they're giving all subscribers free breakfast for life. That means you'll enjoy a totally free breakfast item with every single HelloFresh delivery. Go to HelloFresh.com/redheadsfree and use code redheadsfree for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/redheadsfree with code redheadsfree. Okay, let's get into the questions. First up, we've already discussed this a bit, but I feel like there's more to be said. Consider how the book's title influenced your perception of events and characters. What elements were you suspicious of from the start because of the title?
I was suspicious of everything. I was mostly suspicious of Josie. Nothing really on the Alex piece of it.
Snitch, you seem very affected by the title.
I was
less impacted by it. I actually like, kind of forgot the name of the book until maybe like three quarters of the way through that I was like, oh my God, like they're alluding to Josie being like completely unhinged, which we knew. But once I think Walter kind of went in and told us, listen, everybody, she's a big freaking liar, I was like, oh, we have to be very suspicious.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it was only when I would, like, lay my head down and I didn't, like, think about the book and try and figure out what was going to happen that I would remember it's called None of This is True. I was like, okay, so which part is probably not true? But really, like, Walter, he did that shit. So, yeah, she probably, Josie, had some ulterior motives, but I couldn't figure out what I should not be believing.
I mentioned this already, but, like, the things that I was focused on were the obvious conclusion that he was molesting his two kids were not hitting for me, probably influenced by the book's title of, like, none of this is true, none of this is true. And something that, like, really stood out was that voice note at the end that Josie sent to Alex, where she was like, I accidentally killed your husband, but nothing else was true. Like, I wasn't planning on doing this. I'm not a liar. Everything you're putting in your podcast is going to be false. Like, please believe me. I kind of was like, I think there's more to this. Like, I'm not writing her off immediately as like a big fat pathological liar. There must be something in what she's saying that like we're missing right now.
I kind of agree. I do think that there's like much more that we don't know, but I do think she was giving me like murderer energy. So like, I think she like wanted to kill Walter. I think she like wanted to kill Aaron. And I think she wanted to kill Nathan. Like from the start, she like had her freaking sight set on Nathan. I thought, I was like, oh, she's going to kill this guy. Like 100%. I do not think that was an accident.
I don't know.
And she said the only way, death is the only clean break. She wanted to kill Walter. But she wanted to kill Nathan.
Aren't those too obvious? Like, it just felt as if all of those little clues were leading us in that direction. But I don't believe Roxy and the other daughter's full truth. Like, I just think that not everything that Josie said was a lie.
I agree. Like, I don't believe their full truth because they were a dysfunctional family. And it wasn't just Josie. Like, Roxy, as we mentioned, had oppositional defiance disorder. Like, she's literally ran away from home. Who even knows what she had been doing the last few years? But I think Josie was responsible for the majority of it, so they attributed all of it to her so that they could, like, move forward. But, you know, how did Josie, after Walter died, like, she left her daughter in a closet.
Yeah.
Her daughter, who has special needs, who doesn't eat, she, like, left her there half conscious. Like, this is a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
And I feel fine blaming everything on her.
And regardless if Walter had the heart attack or if Josie whatever, she still bold-faced lied to Alex when recording of me and Aaron walked down the street. She turned left. I turned right. Like, those were lies that are refutable. So,
right.
Irrefutable.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. And whether or not he had a heart attack and she killed him or she just straight up killed him, like, she was going to kill him. We saw her slap him before. Like, yeah, she's abusive.
My question is, why didn't Walter leave? Like, when they were younger. Like, she obviously wasn't.
Well,
like,
he loved the daughters. For a while, him and Josie seemed to be fine. Like, I think it's just you get comfortable and you're in a family life and it gets hard to leave.
He did mention that his sons, he was totally cut off from, had no contact, and he was nervous about that happening again with his daughters.
Mm. Oh.
And then he's, like, in his 60s. Where is he going?
I don't know, just, like, not be abused.
But then what, he's going to leave his daughter in the house with her? Like, I think
I guess
this was his life.
Yeah.
They should have killed Josie.
Yeah.
What about a shared birthday might make you feel bonded to someone? Would you feel a sense of connection and intrigue the way Josie and Alex do? Why do you think Josie imbues this relatively ordinary coincidence with so much importance and meaning? Well, I totally thought this was going to be like a switch at birth.
Me too, Jackie. I thought this was like twins separated at birth or something. Like, I,
especially when Alex was like, I always thought I should have been one of two.
Oh yeah, that was where I thought this entire book was going. Like a podcast where they realized they were related.
Yeah, me too. Especially because they made such a big thing about, hi, I'm your birthday twin. But how would you feel if you met someone born the same day as you in the same hospital?
There was a girl that I grew up with born in the same hospital, same day. And, like, we always, like, gave each other, like, a cute acknowledgement on our birthday. But, like, in no way, shape, or form did I feel at all an attachment to this literal stranger that happened to be born on the same day as me.
You don't want to have her on your podcast on the Redheads?
Honestly, no, I don't. But, that, like, is it is so hilarious funny that we do have a podcast and, like, the option exists for us to bring our birthday twins.
I think I'd be like, how do I not know this person if they live in the same area as me? Like, I know everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. They would live in the same area as you, unless it was, like, New York City. Right. They would be from your town more likely, you know? So it's like, oh, so we do have the same birthday and we probably were born at the same hospital.
Like, we have to have some mutual friends.
Yeah.
I would always see her at the same birthday dinner. We would always go to Primavera Pizza Kitchen for our birthdays. And, like, we were similar in that way.
And did you go up to her in the bathroom and say, hi, I'm your birthday twin.
Hi, I'm your birthday twin. Well, we, like, knew each other. We had been doing this for, like, 15 years.
That is really, like, kind of crazy.
I'm, like, into that
It
stuff.
Is kind of crazy.
I would think that was awesome.
It was cute. Like, it was, like, we weren't friends at all. But, like, we did have this commonality. That was sweet. Once a year, we, like, bonded.
I guess everyone in your class growing up, if you have the same birthday as someone, which doesn't really happen, but if you did, then, like, then you're born on the same day. It, you know, when you're younger, it's more likely.
And you always know who your birthday twins are in the class. Like, Lauren D's on forever.
Oh, you had someone who had your birthday?
Oh, yeah. Not same hospital, but, like, you always know who has your own birthday in your grade.
For sure. How do you know what hospital she was born in?
I guess I don't, but I, like, I would know if it was mine.
Really?
She has the records.
She also moved to town, like, she wasn't.
Oh, she moved to town.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good reason. Next. In what ways are we encouraged to see Josie in a sympathetic light in the early chapters? How does Lisa Jewell's characterization lead us to think of Josie as a little quirky or lonely and ultimately harmless? Well, definitely the denim.
The denim.
It's just like anyone who has denim curtains isn't, like, it's not giving serial killer.
And it's just hilarious. Like, I think also Josie's, like, internal monologue. Like, she just seemed, like, so sad and groomed and, like.
Well, before you, like, knew anything, her whole thing is she's married to a pedophile. Her daughter's estranged from her. She has a narcissistic mother. She's nostalgic for, like, her kids' past. Like, she's very sympathetic before you know the truth.
She, like, has never gone to, like, a real dinner before. She's like, look at us at this pub. Yeah. Like, how crazy are we?
Yeah. When Alex was like, oh, Josie, you married a pedophile. I'm like, that's when I was like, oh, yeah, I guess she did. But yeah.
Yes.
As Alex learns increasingly dark details about Josie's life, she's disturbed but doesn't intervene, nor does she stop the podcast interviews. Do you think Alex should have done something? What do you think the outcome would have been?
I think, okay, I have thoughts on Alex because what I did like about her is that I feel like so many times when we read these books, like, the other person that, like, something is happening to is, like, so dumb. Like, they don't have any sort of critical thinking. Like, they just, like, believe everything. And it's like, how could you possibly believe that? Like, use your brain. And Alex did use her brain. Like, she was like, oh, this is weird. Like, I think Josie's, like, the one who's the problem. Like, whatever. So she was putting it together, which I enjoyed because I feel like us as the reader was like, oh, I think Josie might actually be the problem too. her not doing anything and, like, and not putting even more stuff together, like, all the things that were going missing. Like, how did you not figure that out? And also, like, when she showed up and was like, Walter abused me, whatever, and let her stay for a week, like, why she didn't call the police, that she clearly had on speed dial.
Right.
Made no sense.
That was the first thing to me where I was like, you need to do something. Because everything else, it's kind of like, oh, that's Josie's life. Like, I feel like a lot of times journalists, like, your job is to observe. It's not to intervene. I feel like she should have called the police for Josie if her husband did abuse her. And then if he didn't, and maybe the story wasn't adding up, then you need to call the police and double check before you have this strange woman living in a house with your children. And you're leaving the house to walk her dog and leaving her in your house with your children. It wasn't until Josie became the house guest that I really was questioning Alex's choices.
Agreed.
I kind of understood that Alex wanted to get the story. I think, like, it was becoming clear that this was actually becoming quite a situation. And she was like, I think we really have something. Like, let me just power through and get this crazy lady her crazy details and make a crazy podcast. And, like, then we'll be done. It was only until she became a house guest that I was like, okay, now it's no longer acceptable.
And yeah, but I understood her having them for dinner and, like, really just trying to get the story. Everything was fine until then, even though it wasn't adding up. Like, she was doing the job.
Oh, that dinner, nothing I wanted to be transported to less.
Horrible. Well, Snitch, to your point, like, you thought she was a likable character because she had a brain and was questioning Josie. I actually thought that made it worse because she was aware of all the inconsistencies and weirdness, like when they caught her on the camera sifting through their recycling bin and, like, staring in, but she just ignored all the warning signs for the success of the podcast, which I agree with, I respect, but look where it landed you. Like, you sacrificed all for this podcast when you had, like, pretty good indicators of something going to go awry with this woman, and, like, she didn't look into anything. At bare minimum, she could have stopped by the house and, like, checked out the scene after she went to live with her, and she kind of peered in, but she didn't do enough.
Yeah, she didn't do enough. Next, Josie ponders her life and choices throughout the novel, at one point wondering how she might leave her family and live elsewhere. She thinks to herself, Alex is the answer to everything somehow. Why does Josie think Alex will change her life? How do you think she envisions a change at this point in the novel?
I guess if we're, like, operating on this theory that Josie was telling the truth and just her whole life keeping this huge secret of Roxy murdering Brooke, then she saw Alex as this, like, path to confession and redemption. Like, okay, I can no longer live with this. I haven't seen Roxy in years. Like, it's time for my truth and to break out of this lie.
To be honest, I don't know the answer to the original question, so I like yours, Dana.
I don't think there, like, is an answer. I just think she saw Alex as this escape. Like, if I can tell my truth, then I can get out of these shackles, even if they're self-imagined shackles that she created on her own mentality.
But it's like, why did she have to do a – like, she had this idea for a podcast and wanted her story out there. Like, why a podcast? If you want confession, like, why not a friend or the church or something? Like, was she – wanting fame or something?
I don't think it was, like, so proactive. I think she saw her birthday twin out, envisioned this life that she could have had. Oh, that's my counterpart. She has all these friends. She has all these people. Stalked her, did research, saw she was a podcaster. And that's when she started, like, formulating the plan.
Okay, but why did she decide to go to that restaurant for her birthday to begin with? That was, like, the first step of change.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
she, I do think it was, like, very tied to the birthday twin concept. Like, I feel like that clicked for Josie and then set her on a path of destruction, and for whatever reason she was just so taken by it.
But you're right, Jackie, it seems a little too neat that, like, when I turned 45 I started thinking about changing my life, and then all of a sudden at dinner, like, I got the propellant I needed. It's like, why were you at dinner in the first place?
Yeah, but I like what you guys are saying. She, like, hyper-fixated on, like, maybe Alex to her represented, like, a parallel life.
Yeah.
And in order to get to that life, she needed Alex.
Yes. That's what she stood for.
What was your initial reaction to the scene in which Josie screams and slaps Walter? After knowing the ending, how do you now understand their dynamics?
I mean,
I'm a Walter apologist.
Me too, sort of.
Like, I love that man. He is my king. Not actually.
Okay, but this is probably like a much larger question, but is he a pedophile?
I think so. I think he is a 45-year-old man sleeping with a 16-year-old girl.
42 and 16 is a crazy age difference.
But if Josie never came on to him, and I literally hate even talking like this because, like, she's a 16-year-old girl and it, like, sounds so... I just think of that about, like, My Dark Vanessa, and I'm like, shut up, Jackie. Stop talking. Like, it's not her. But, like, we see throughout the book, like, Josie is this master manipulator. Like, she... Like, I can't even say these words, but, like, she forced herself on him to steal her mom's boyfriend, her mom who she hated so much. And, like, if Walter had never met Josie, he would have never slept with an underage person in his life, probably.
Yeah.
His That's wife valid. Was 10 years younger than her. Younger than him.
That's true. She was, like, 18 or 19.
Yeah. No, his first wife was young.
She was 10 years younger than him.
He was in his late 20s. So.
Oh, yes. I thought the same thing. I thought
so
the same
it
thing.
Makes her 18, 19, and that is a red flag. You're right, you're right.
Jackie, this is why all the redheads are telling you to read all the ugly and wonderful things, because, like, this is the central tension of that book, and it is, like, cause for debate. It seems on the surface, like, yes, he's a pedophile, look at this age difference, but when you throw in all of the factors, it's kind of hard to be black and white always.
But then, yeah, like, and then she's 45 and he's 80.
72.
And 72. And he's just, like, a good husband to her then. Just, like, very patient and, like, very sympathetic to her psycho situations. And lets her verbally assault him and tell him to get a haircut and buys new clothes when she demands it. And I'm just, like, I feel sad for him.
And there is a sort of sickness to have to leave your current girlfriend for her daughter.
Yeah.
And also, you were married.
I wish we got Walter's perspective, because it actually doesn't add up. Like, if he was dating Pat and they were, like, good, and they were always, like, kind of laughing about Josie, like, what happened that he would switch and then that he stays with Josie all these years, even though things are so toxic, but he just seems to be, like, a man with, yeah, like, little, like, I, like, and who's also man. Controlling. He's weak, but he's controlling, like, very... very confusing. Never really got a proper read on him. But I also feel like when someone's a pedophile, like, when their partner grows up, like, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it might be a little harsh to call him a pedophile, because I agree. I think there's some, like, consistency in that brand of you're always thinking about underage girls, which I'm not so quick to label him as. But I do think going for someone that young has, like, indecent tendencies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just agreed. Think, like, no matter what, if you're with someone that young and you're 42, there is something wrong with you. Whether or not you're a pedophile, I don't know, but you're not normal.
Like, it might not be pathological, but it's not good.
Right. Okay, so, like, what about, like, Leonardo DiCaprio and Scott Disick?
Both pedophiles.
Pedophilic behavior.
By this standard, then they are.
No, like, there's something perverted.
No, but their people haven't been under the age of
18.
Like, well,
and they're
Walter.
Not,
they've been like 20 to 25, which is still gross, but like,
or
it's
like
fine.
Eight? No, like 18, 19. They start at around like 18.
Yeah,
19,
we got to pick an age that it's acceptable.
Well, according to the law, it's 18 and above.
But what was the law here in this book? I feel like it was 16. That's why they waited.
Yeah.
So then it's not.
Oh, is it different in the UK?
It's different everywhere. Every state has a different law.
Yeah.
It's some places like 17, right?
It's ripe for analysis.
Yeah. But anyways, I think we can all agree that it's gray.
Yeah. Yes.
Next question. When Josie and Walter come for dinner at Alex and Nathan's, it becomes clear that Josie hasn't told Walter about the podcast. Alex thinks to herself that it's a classic Josie maneuver, like buying a palm tree without checking that it really was a palm tree, a sort of blundering, thoughtless, aimless approach to life. A do the thing and worry about it later approach. Do you agree with Alex's characterization of Josie, or do you think Josie is secretly more calculating?
Okay, I thought that was like a little of an unfair analogy. She didn't research the dog in depth, so all of a sudden she has a blasé approach to life. Like, also, Alex, you were not so honest with your husband about things, specifically the podcast in the beginning. So, like, Josie's no angel, but neither are you.
Yeah, and I think that was like a bad call on Alex's part. She's not just like thoughtless and blundering through life. She's actually like quite the opposite and calculated.
Yeah.
And I think for her calculation, she thought the best way to get Walter at dinner and on board was just to pretend like she already told him.
Yes.
Also, the palm chi, I feel like Josie explained it to us. I feel like she was like, Walter wanted to get me the cheap version of a palm chi. I wanted like the pure bread, but like he said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like I a didn't dumb find example.
That, yeah, yeah. Like the dog wasn't like an issue.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. In what ways does class influence the book's event? How do the two families' different social classes factor into the plot?
Well, I'm confused because is this hinting that Josie's poor and Alex is rich?
Yes. For sure. This question? Yeah. Because
the estate that Josie grew up on and her mom's wealth, like, I don't think of her as necessarily a poverty person.
I think that was like a kind of like condominium. Like a.
Yeah, I think it was like the. But also, this book had a lot of like inside British baseball words and things that were not explained to us that I think are like commonplace in the UK. But the vibe I got was like it was a former estate that was then split up into like multifamily housing.
But everything and she was lives a flat.
Like right off. She lives right off the bus stop, whereas Alex, I was getting like a townhome vibe from Alex with the blue door and the Instagram interior,
and the soap. Then I think it harks back to what we were saying about parallel lives. Like, Alex represents what Josie could have been had her life taken a different direction from her birthday twin.
But I feel like for Josie, it was never about money at all. Even at one point, she's reminiscing on her life, and the way she sees her life is kind of like this fairy tale up until this point when she was like, I was a young girl with power, and then, like, I was a young mom pinching pennies at the grocer. And I feel like she feels warmly about, you know, like it was a point of pride for her, not like a feeling of Alex has all this and I don't have these things.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I actually didn't see Josie as one as being like, this could have been my life. Like, this is like the road less traveled. And if I like did this and this differently, I could have had Alex's life. I just think it was like she got to a inflection point in her life and like turned 45 and was like, I all of a sudden want more, and like looked at Alex and was like, she has more, and like became totally infatuated and enchanted by Alex's life. But Jackie, I agree with you that it's like she felt pretty, it seems like she was content for a lot of her youth and like her own family life.
Yeah, and I think it was more of what you were saying earlier, Dana, when she saw Alex at the restaurant. It's like they were both eating at the same restaurant. They could both afford the same restaurant. It was like that Alex's life was so full with friends and merriment and family, and Josie's wasn't. Because throughout the book, money's never an issue for Josie. She had that inheritance from her grandma, by the way, question mark. She has the money that she stole from her daughter, who's fucking crushing it online. And even when she goes to the store to buy new clothes, she's surprised by how affordable it is to just look nicer than she does and not be a quirky person wearing denim all the time.
You're right. It's not different social classes that are factoring into the plot. It's just different lifestyles.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like even the prioritizing of having those little cute knickknacks around the house where I feel like she really liked those things that Alex had and then realized, oh, I could have those things too.
Yeah, it's like quality. Let me steal them. Quality of life is what she's jealous of, not like necessarily financial stuff.
And also even that board in Alex's house with all of the kids' drawings, it's like that is priceless.
Those drawings are priceless.
I was thinking the same thing.
okay, guys. Yeah, you want to come for me? You want to come?
Drawings.
Yes. I was trying to say something nice. Next question. What details from Erin and Roxy's stories about their childhoods are more recent events and more recent events shocked you the most? Which of Josie's lies do you assume were true and why?
Well, it's hard to know what was true still at the end of the book. So, like,
what shocked you the most about what Josie and Erin said versus what Josie said? What Roxy and Erin. I'm sorry, all these people's names are like the same.
I totally agree.
I was shocked that we learned that Roxy potentially killed Brooke. That was a big one for me.
I was shocked that they had a really close relationship with Walter.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that he was like the money man behind Glitch. And the streaming, that he was going in there every night to, like, stream with her Erased and Pops. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, like, Josie was so jealous of her kids having a good relationship with the father and, like, hated Brooke for, like, being a positive influence.
But another thing that's not adding up, earlier in the book, they interviewed the gaming people that Erin was playing against who saw her get up and yes. then they heard all this commotion. How come those people never mentioned that she often would game with her dad and that he was a big part of good her
well,
thing?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, good nobody point. Asked.
No, I think it's that at that point they're making a documentary and they want you to be on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
But it still, it's like, okay, well, you didn't give me all the information, so I don't feel bad for being stupid.
Yeah, correct. Like, how would I have known?
I don't really know how that would have helped. I feel like it was far enough along in, like, the murder that, like, us knowing that Walter was there, I guess it just would have made us aware that he wasn't sexually abusing her.
Exactly.
And that, like, they had a good relationship and what was going on in Erin's room, like, that was kind of the party room in the house,
and
not...
if they wanted
like,
to,
Josie's room was a sad room.
Yeah, if they wanted to, like, keep up our suspicion on his intentions, they could have just mentioned, like, and we often saw, like, in the background, her dad, they didn't even need to go... into how supportive he was
yeah,
being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They could have kept us... And, oh, my God, the dad's in the room. How
yeah,
frightening.
Yeah, exactly. That was, like, an annoying omission because you're right, is as the reader, didn't, we didn't stand a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't stand a chance. Okay. Except, yeah, when... Yeah. Next question. Toward the end of the novel, we get more perspectives on Josie as a character and the truth of what she did from her children, her mother, Caitlin, and others. With these increased points of view, how do you now see Josie?
Psycho.
Yeah. Yeah.
A freak.
From her kids and Caitlin, psycho. From her mom, I'm harking back to, like, did your 16-year-old daughter steal your boyfriend? Or, like, is something not adding up? Like, not everybody's account of Josie made me hate her. Some cast more doubt on the others.
Maybe. Maybe if it was just about, like, figuring Josie out. But the fact that she drugged and kidnapped Nathan and drugged him again and killed him. Yeah. I'm going to believe every nasty thing someone has to say
and
about
what
you.
What was her plan?
She said her plan was to, like, drug him, make him scared, like, and then leave him on the side of the road so that he would never do it to Alex ever again. But since when is she like that? Like, she doesn't offer redemption. Like,
death was the only clean
yeah.
slate option. Yeah. Don't forget it.
Yeah.
When someone tells you who they are, believe them.
That's why I can't really trust Josie, like, even when she came back and was like, I, like, this, and this wasn't true. Like, believe me. And we're kind of like, do we believe her? Like, maybe. But I feel like she is lying. Like, she was always going to kill Nathan. She made it so clear. And therefore, like, you saying that you didn't mean to and that it was an accident is still a lie.
It was also written interestingly because I think the verbiage was like, and that's something that Josie really believed happened. Like, in her head, right. She believed it to make yeah. you think, like, yeah, I'm sure she might actually believe this, but that doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, it was written like that. Yeah. Last question. In the very last scene, Josie is on a bus contemplating the past. She has convinced herself that the way she remembers things is what really happened. Do you think we are supposed to believe her, or is she deluding herself?
Delusional.
Yeah, I think she believes what she believes, but, like, I don't think it's true.
Okay, so who do you think killed Brooke?
I think that Josie killed Brooke, also because why did she have her trinkets if Roxy killed her?
That's a good point, Snitch, the trinkets.
Point one for Snitch. Also, I thought what was going to happen is she was going to hear people talking about her from the podcast and documentary. And because she, like, can't control herself, just like how she saw Red before she killed Walter, I thought she was going to, like, lose her mind and, you know, hit them or scream at them. And then she would have, you know, got caught.
I thought the same, Jax. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's about to kill a bitch.
I actually would have liked that as an ending.
Yeah.
I was actually dying when she was like, really, Alex, basic bitch?
That's oh my God,
the best
Dana.
You got.
I was thinking the same thing. I was actually thinking it was a really smart strategy for, like, Alex to go in on Josie, yes. like, because you know you're going to hear from her because she doesn't like that.
Yes.
And that she was so offended.
I love that.
Hilarious.
Part.
Really, Alex, basic bitch?
So funny.
They mentioned toast pajamas. Anyone catch that?
I know. Some people thought the book was, like, toast coded because it's about a podcast and the toast pajamas. But that was really where it starts. As far as, like, influences, yeah. you know, like, it's not like Alex. Alex had blonde hair, not red or brunette. She didn't have Palm Leaf Studio.
Therefore.
I thought Alex had red hair.
Blonde.
Were the sisters like redheads?
No.
There was something about redheads.
Nathan was a redhead.
Nathan and the kids.
And the kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
kids.
Super cute. Oh, so maybe it was toasty.
Also, what I thought was funny was after the dinner when she was, like, so disappointed in, like, Alex and, like, the wine she gave that she didn't like.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Like, I thought she'd make more than pasta.
Yeah, like, all. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, you need to calm down.
She was insane.
Honestly, that pasta sounded disgusting. It was, like, creamy bacon, like, chicken pasta. I agree with Josie.
Josie called it stodgy. She wanted something more elevated. Yeah.
She's like, she didn't even realize how expensive the wine I brought was.
Josie is the snob.
That's why I asked the question, like, snob. Who's the rich one here?
Yeah, no, Josie's attitude was very snobbish towards everything. But also, I don't feel like there was that huge, like, financial disparity because also their kids went to the same school.
Yeah. Right.
Agreed.
So I feel like that wasn't meant to be, like, so central to the book.
I agree.
It's kind of like,
the official book club question, so maybe it was.
I mean, they tried to make it a thing. They were like, as soon as you turn the corner, you go from tree-lined streets to kind of a nasty, like, sidewalk.
Yeah, like that she lived on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, but it didn't come across in any other interactions besides, like, the description of the street.
Besides the shoehorn.
Yeah.
The description of Josie's, like, apartment, flat, home situation was kind of depressing, though.
Yeah, because she made it depressing. Yeah.
Facts.
Because when Alex looked in, she said it, like, looked super tidy, kind of like a rental home that was about to be turned over. There was, like, it didn't sound gross when she looked in.
You could barely see any dead bodies.
Literally. Okay, now it's time for the redhead questions. As always, you guys submitted great questions. So first up, did any of you feel that there was a missed opportunity for the authority to explore the circumstances surrounding the family's cover-up of the crime of killing the friend? The way the author just dropped that plot twist at the end had me gasping and feeling robbed that we didn't get much more information.
I didn't need the authorities to, like, go so deep on that. I think it was best suited for the end of the book as kind of an epilogue afterthought of, like, wait, same as Verity. Like, who did what?
I know, but I hate that. Like, I like a book with answers.
Yeah, but I do feel like it was more than just Josie killing Brooke. Otherwise, what were her and Walter talking about when Josie said, I'm going to go to the police?
They mentioned that she called Walter. He was away on business and was like, help, how do we cover up this murder? And he, like, walked them through how to dispose of
the body. That's if Roxy killed him.
Yeah.
But if Josie killed him, why does Walter have any qualms about them going to the police about
maybe
Roxy
just
or anything?
Because he's complicit in knowing that happened. But, yeah, it's a plot hole.
Maybe she wasn't lying about that. I love this book so much, but the only thing that irked me was the way in which the author almost had an apologist angle towards a man who was 45 and dating a 15-year-old. Even if he was a wonderful father, although who was telling the truth, and Josie manipulated him into a relationship, he was still a predator. What are your thoughts on this particular part of the story?
Was he? I'm just kidding. I promise I'm kidding.
It's not kosher.
But I think he made up for it by being a great daddy and a...
daddy.
But I do think it was meant to be ambiguous for, like, when you start reading the book, you're like, oh, my God, Josie has this horrible husband, this, like, disgusting old man. And then over the course of the book, it's not like he's ever fully redeemed, but you realize, like, he's not just that.
Times were different back then.
Yeah. Next question. Not sure if I totally missed this, but why did Aaron's room smell so bad? Josie never cleaned it, but Walter went in every night and could bear the smell.
I'm with this person. I have no idea what the smell part was. Like,
yeah, this was the number one question that we got. People wondering.
Yeah, they never explained
it. No, it's a phenomenal question.
I think it was just meant to be like her BO and stank from never leaving. But why didn't Walter encourage the dog that he was so, like, close with to bathe?
And in an indication that, like, she was not being taken care of by her mom. Like the everything in the house was, like, falling apart and... like, the relationships, the dynamics. I feel like it was just, like, a giant symbolism.
Yeah, I also think a lot of it is that, like, Josie liked to pretend, like, everything was, like, good. Like, everything was, like, fine. And so it's, like, if she opened that door, it's, like, opening the door to the fact that, like, nothing is okay. So she was, like, you know what? As long as the door's shut, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why she smells so bad?
No, yeah, but because also, she's, like, showering.
But, like, every night Josie would make the food for her daughter. So it's, like, it's not that she was uncaring.
Then, like, then Roxy and Aaron's anecdotes later were like, we only did stuff when mom left the house. It's like, why couldn't you just pee and shower when she left the house?
No, they said that they did that.
Yeah. So
no, why not shower?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely a bit of a plot hole. Yeah. Next question. My question is about the unidentified phone case found with Josie's other trophies from her victims. What do you think this means? Was there a small clue in the book that told us whose phone case it was that I missed?
No, I know. I keep thinking that, too. Like, is there, like, was someone else mentioned, like, someone's daughter, like, something?
Yeah. And the picture of those kids.
Yeah. Well, they should be able to figure out who those kids are now.
I think
they figured out who the kids were. It was Brooke and her siblings.
No. Yes. They said it's not them.
I think it was just meant for us to
No,
be
she was looking at it, and she's like, I recognize that kid. It's Brooke. And then she's like, oh, and the other two, I remember they said she had a sister and a brother or something.
Phone case is unresolved.
Phone case is unresolved. Photo was resolved.
Meant for the reader to just question Josie for the 100th time of who else has she heard, what else went on.
Yeah, because I guess there's like kind of 20 years unaccounted for after she marries Walter, and it seems like her life is super quiet, and then she wakes up when she's 45 and does all this damage.
Yeah.
And like the first 16 years of her life, she was a very troublesome child too. So like what, she just stopped being troublesome?
Right.
Probably not. Next question. Do you think Alex was too lenient on her husband while he kept coming home late? Like, if that was my husband and it happened even once, I would be beyond furious.
1,000%.
This was the biggest trigger for me in the entire book. I hated Nathan, but I hated Alex more for not saying shit. I would have ultimatumed that guy so long ago. If you do this again, we are getting divorced. Like, it was out of control, her level of forgiveness and lack of communication with him about it.
I know. Also, I was just mad she was losing so much sleep. Like, when she was, like, would be up, like, racked with anxiety. Like, I would be like, oh, my God, can we please go to sleep?
100%. Also, the night that her sisters were coming over to let him go out, I was like, girlfriend, what are you doing? Have him go to the study or have him hang out with you guys. Yeah. Like, he seems like a good time.
Yeah, but now in hindsight, I'm like, what's a night out with the boys?
I know, but the dinner party is what killed me the most when he just didn't show up. Like, I thought that was absolutely outrageous. I was with Josie. I was like, your husband sucks.
They tried to redeem him, too, by being like, I forgot Nathan had a hard life and he would go to escape. And that was how he coped with all the hard things that he'd been through. Again, shoehorn.
But also, can we talk about Giovanni? Because, like, that was also another piece of it that, like, A, I didn't know when she was, like, up all night all the time. She could always just call Gio because he always answered. He was like, yeah, Nathan's
well,
right
he
here.
Had a lot of drinking buddies. He might have been with different folks.
No, but every time he said Giovanni.
He's always a Gio.
He's always a Gio. And so I was like, okay, interesting. You could always call him. But then when she finally went to him and Gio seemed pretty normal, he was like, we were happy to leave him with the Catherine Caitlin girl because because there was someone to hang out with him and like he just wanted to keep going per usual and we didn't. Like,
I thought her handling of that was so unacceptable and I was so down for Josie when she was reading him the riot act when he got home the next day. Like, you're a shit husband. Your wife slaved over dinner.
Yeah, crap, she was right. If it pasta, wasn't coming from her, I would have been go off.
He's like, I knew she was making bacon Alfredo pasta. I wasn't coming over that.
Okay, well, those are the redhead questions. Thank you so much, everyone who read along with us this month. What is the moral of the story?
Not everything.
None of this is true.
Yeah, none of this is true.
Yeah, question everything.
Yeah.
There's three sides to every story.
Yes.
I like that.
Next, the Hollywood treatment. I think every book we choose would be a great movie or TV show, but this in particular, too. So who would you have as Alex?
ScarJo.
You guys. Oh, who?
ScarJo.
ScarJo.
Who's that?
Oh.
Scarlett Johansson.
That's good. Counts.
No, it's Hannah Waddingham, who is in Ted Lasso.
But she's, like, not 45.
She's, like, too intense. Like,
she's perfect.
I was thinking, like, Elizabeth Banks.
Good, too.
Oh, yeah.
I had Rachel McAdams.
Great.
Great. Yeah. Reese Witherspoon would have been good, too.
Yeah.
Come to think of it.
Yeah, but it's always Reese Witherspoon.
I know.
It's always her.
And who would you have as Josie? My favorite crazy British lady is Emily Blunt.
She's too pretty, though.
Yeah, she's too pretty.
No, but, like, Josie, she's one who could, like, look unassuming, and then, you know, she takes her glasses off, and she's beautiful.
And puts a new dress on.
Who?
Hilary Swank.
Oh, I like that. I could see that.
She's like unassuming and brunette and in her 40s.
Yeah, Bex?
I had Kristen Schaal, who Did you remember in 30 Rock she was that assistant?
The one who can't be touched?
The one who dated Kenneth?
Oh, no, I'm thinking about that art collector who dates Jack Donaghy, who, like, has brittle bones and so he can't touch her. And that's literally how I feel all the time. Like, my bones hurt.
No, she is infuriating. She made me want to pull my hair out. Like, I have to skip the 30 Rock episodes with her in it because she makes me so fucking angry. And, like, that's how I feel about Josie, too. And I honestly feel like it's a logical selection.
I'm going to Google her. Dana, who did you have?
I had Margaret Qualley.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Thank you.
Except she's really young, but oh my God. Rebecca, I know who this is. Kristen Schaal. What else is she from? She's iconic. Kristen
she's Schaal? Iconic. S-C-H-A-L.
You everyone will know her if you Google
by the
her.
Way, yeah.
What's her name?
Kristen, S-C-H-A-A-L. She finds her name.
I don't even know how you could describe this person.
She kind of looks like Margaret Qualley.
She is Josie.
She's so Josie.
I'm cracking up. Okay, great. Well, now it is time for our overall rating of this book. I will go first, as it was my choice. I'm giving it a 4.5. Bex?
I'm also giving it a 4.5.
Dana?
3.7.
Snitch?
3.9.
Overall Redhead's rating for None of This Is True is a 4.15.
That feels right.
That feels right.
Makes it right above We Are the Brennans.
Wow.
So it comes in at what is the new number 12. I have to be honest. I took I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings off. I put it to the side of this list.
Okay, I agree.
So now this is number 12. It's right after Addie LaRue.
That feels right.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's above Addie LaRue. Tied with Nothing to See Here and Ooh, I Could Live Here Forever.
Those are some pretty high rankings.
I feel like, yeah, this is very kind.
I agree. Elite. Should we go down a little?
No, this is how we never have done that.
To be next to Nothing to See Here.
I honestly really liked this. I didn't love the ending, but like I thought that was
yeah, great. No, I thought it was an excellent read.
Oh, I'm so glad that I came back strong.
Yes. Yeah, you needed a win.
Yeah, I needed just like a safe choice. Okay, well, did anyone else read this month? I did not.
I mean, I'm still reading the one book. I did, but I'm not done.
Right, Bex?
I'm rereading Fourth Wing because this was keeping me up so much at night that I had to reread something that I've read before so I could fall asleep. So that's what's happening with me.
Great. Understood. Dana?
I read two books. One was a Jack's recommendation via AI.
After I did the Redheads episode last month, I was like, I should have asked AI for a recommendation. Let me like tell them what I would have looked for. And I was like, book, you know, I like Crawdads and Evelyn Hugo, whatever. And they gave me a bunch of recommendations, a lot of which I had already known. But there was one book in there that I had never heard of. So I was like, Dana, have you heard of this book?
Where the Forest Meets the Stars by Glendi Vander. It was so good. I read it in like a day. It was like, I would recommend it to anybody. It was such a digestible, like easy, great read. I gave it a 4.3. And then I read Years of Wonder by Geraldine Brooks, who, if you recall, wrote Horse, a Redhead's fave.
Yes.
This was not for me. Like, just did not hit the spot. I gave it a 2.0.
Whoa.
Yeah, it wasn't my time for this kind of book.
Got it. Yeah, quiet month of books for us. As we say, it's only been 3 weeks, but catch us this month. It's going to be popping. And what will we be reading for the next Redheads episode, Bex?
Oh, I'm so excited, you guys. I am going back to my roots of being a historical fiction fanatic, and we are going to be reading Frozen River by Arielle Lawhan.
She wrote Codename Helene.
Yes.
Oh my God, oh, really?
Yeah. This is our first double.
Amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are we okay with this?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, why not? Great. I was like wanting to go historical fiction. I couldn't really do a World War II situation. And this is like post-Revolutionary War set in Maine. And it's a midwife. And like I think it's based on a true, like a real historical figure.
We love that.
So I'm honestly really excited. Like, I always like to learn about a new piece of history. So I hope everybody reads along and enjoys.
I'm so excited. I love that. I was going to choose
I'm in the
this.
Mood for historical fiction. And yes, Snitch was going to choose it,
between
it a few
this
months ago.
Or no, it was between this or Strange Sally Diamond last month.
So it all works out.
Yeah, it
was meant to be.
It was meant to be. I'm really excited. It sounds so good.
Me too.
It has amazing ratings, you guys.
Ooh, I can't wait. Well, thank you guys so much for your participation in this podcast. And happy 4-year anniversary to us.
4 more years.
Four more years.
100 more years of redheads.
Also,
if you have anything to do about it.
This was our 50th episode.
Wow.
So chew on that.
Congrats.
That's really crazy. 50 huge. Books. And okay, we will see you on the next one, if that's all.
After I was just going to say that's like 50 plus hours of like content. It's so exciting.
It's like literally like 60 because these are long ass episodes that we do. Yeah. Nobody works harder than the redheads.
Mm-mm.
Nobody.
Day and night.
In and out. Up and down. We'll see you on the next one. Love ya. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.